I speak to you in the name of the God who gives us sight. Amen. The young hero had saved the city in crisis, ridding the land of tribute to the Sphinx. The victor, the cleanser, the restorer. He was acclaimed to the people and made their king. With his wife and daughters, he set out to live a hero's life and to rule Thebes justly and in tune with the gods. But a deadly pestilence devoured the city. Sound familiar? And its citizens came to Oedipus, whom all men call the greatest. Raise up our city. Save it and raise it up, they pleaded. Oedipus said, I have sent Creon, Jocasta's brother, to Apollo, to his Pythian temple, that he might learn there by what act or word I could save this city. Then Creon returned, breathless from visiting the gods. He returned with the remedy for driving out the plague, by banishing a man, since it is murder guilt which holds our city in this storm of death. If we were all gathered in the amphitheater on the hillside, in the religious rite called drama, with the sunlight glistening off the sea below and the cool wind filtering the sun above, if we were there, we would follow the story we know so well. We would hear brash Oedipus rushing like a blind man toward the fateful moment when the tale converged at the crossing of three roads. Against all caution, Oedipus would plunge from messenger to messenger like a moth drawn to the flame. Don't ask, we want to cry out. Don't ask. But he won't stop until the dreadful moment when everything becomes clear, until the stinging words of the blind Tiresias hang before Oedipus. You have your eyes, but you see not where you are in sin, nor where you live, nor whom you live with. And Oedipus' blindness is taken away, and he can see. Oh, they will all come out clearly. Light of the sun, let me look upon you no more after today. I who first saw the light, bred of a match accursed, and accursed in my living with them I live with, cursed in my killing. Thus the man born in the dark, who lived in blindness, who now sees clearly, rushes to his now dead wife, Mother Jocasta. Taking her great hairpins, he dashed them on his own eyeballs until a black rain and bloody hail poured down. We would all watch this, and not for the first time. We would be sad for Oedipus, brash, dazzling Oedipus. And we could almost sing along with the chorus. Behold this Oedipus, him who knew the famous riddles and was a man most masterful. See him now, and see the breakers of misfortune swallow him. But for all our sadness, we would be comforted to know that not even Oedipus can escape the fates, and that the gods can still have their way. Perhaps we haven't changed much in 2,500 years. For one of the great excuses of this age sounds like an echo from the open air of the Greek stage. I can't see. Even better, I don't want to see. This excuse lurks behind every situation in which harm is ignored, or reform is crushed, or the truth is obscured. It is a deadly excuse, sure to fail in the end. I'm inclined to believe that Jesus did not know Sophocles. Yet today, in our liturgy, we have heard a great story of blindness and sight that is at least as illuminating as the tale of Oedipus. This story would not have been acted out under the warm Greek sun. It would have been told around the table among friends. And it would have been rehearsed with persons seeking the illumination of holy baptism. Like Oedipus, the nameless man of the story from John was born blind. Only he was born physically blind. And the ancient world assumed that this misfortune was caused by someone's sin. Just like Oedipus. Maybe just like us. Anyway, in the course of 41 verses, the blind man is healed. He is accused of fakery. His parents are threatened. And the religious leaders kept pressing and pressing and pressing, plunging to their own condemnation in the last verse. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. The business of blindness and sight, you know, is a strange and powerful metaphor. Because I see is a metaphor for I know, or I understand. I see. And knowledge and understanding are embedded in faith, and faith lies at the heart of the gospel. When finally the newly seeing man had endured all the Pharisaical grilling and sarcasm, had been driven out of his community, his sight became vision, and his vision turned to understanding, and with insight that bypasses optical nerves, this man confessed, Lord, I believe. In returning to Oedipus the King, I was reminded of the timeless comprehension of human tragedy offered by Sophocles, even to this day, who in Matthew Arnold's words saw life steadily and saw it whole. But you know, it's oppressing, it feels oppressing to listen to that, the stifling determinism of the classical Greek world, where lineage was everything, where you were a citizen or you were nothing, where life was endlessly repeatable, where there was no real sense of the future, no real prospect to change your life. You were fixed in your status to play out your role and to accept its consequences. And in that kind of world, clearly, I can see is either tragic or resigned, but not a moment of conversion. But to the members of St. John's community, blissfully ignorant probably of Oedipus, Antigone, Creon, and the rest, this gift of sight changed their lives. To continue to intone the great excuse kept them in the darkness, and that was like sin. To see was to believe, and to believe was to be changed. No wonder the church told this story to people who sought to be baptized. It is a story of conversion. Our baptismal liturgy shines with fragments of light. St. Augustine of Hippo wrote pointedly, this blind man stands for the human race. If the blindness is infidelity, then the illumination is faith. He washes his eyes in the pool, which is called one who has been sent. He was baptized in Christ. When we gather for the great vigil of Easter in 3 weeks, we will know that baptism is a gift of sight, and we will remember the man who was born blind. Into the dark church I will bear the paschal candle, singing, the light of Christ, the light of Christ. Slowly the light will crowd out the darkness until the ancient proclamation is sung of Jesus' victory over death and darkness and blindness. We will make our way to the graceful water of the baptismal font, stir the depths of creation, and allow ourselves to be sprinkled with illumination. Perhaps we will find ourselves confessing that I washed and now I see, and all our excuses will be left at the baptismal font. When all is said and done, across 25 centuries, Oedipus still plays out his tragic fate in a way that moves us and frustrates us. His ego, his ignorance, his curiosity, and finally his error have been cloned perfectly among us. But this doomed man, born seeing with blinders on, ended his life in blindness that revealed the truth of his life. What a waste. What a loss. But the nameless man in John, born blind, was given sight, and his life was transformed. We once in our baptism were brought into the light and allowed to see. By now that vision has dulled, and we see through the cataracts of sin, and we see only the penumbra of the light. But dull sight can be restored, and the light can shine brilliantly, and we are meant to see. We've been sort of sleepy in our faith, but against the great excuse of this age stands the promise of God. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Amen.